If you've experienced a DNA surprise, you know that your emotions can range from shock to denial to grief to anger to confusion to joy and around again. And sometimes it's hard to find people who understand this unique experience. Sometimes we feel a little stuck as we navigate this journey. That's why we created the DNA Surprise Retreat. At the DNA Surprise Retreat, you'll enjoy 6 expert-led sessions to help you process your DNA surprise. You'll eat delicious catered meals, and most importantly, you'll build beautiful friendships with people who understand you, all in a stunning private ranch facility in the Arizona desert. If you've had shocking DNA test results, know that you're not alone. This retreat is for you. Join us September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix, Arizona. Registration is open now. Reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
I don't know, it was like the conversation flowed, like his voice was so familiar to me, like it was like I'd known it, like I knew it from somewhere, and it was just like I'd never actually heard it before.
Imagine spinning into a tube, sending off your DNA, and unknowingly turning your life upside down. For me and thousands of others, this is our reality. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July of 2021, I discovered that I am an NPE, someone who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. This podcast shares the journeys of people who were shocked by a DNA discovery, mostly through modern DNA testing. We're telling the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. This is DNA Surprises. When people experience DNA surprises, the range of emotions they feel can be wide. There's sadness, there's confusion, there's happiness sometimes, and often there's anger. In this week's episode, Allie shares how she felt when she learned that her birth certificate father isn't her biological father, and that she was born after a years-long affair between her mother and a colleague. She discusses how it's been difficult to get the truth from her mother, how her relationship with her biological father isn't what she hoped it would be, and how she discovered that her birth certificate father also knew the truth for decades. Thank you for sharing your story, Allie.
Yeah, my name is Allie. I'm 29 years old, and I was born and raised in the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri. In February of 2021, I got my results of my test. I'd originally taken the test because I'm a nurse. I work night shift, and on night shift, you get to talking with your coworkers. And one of my coworkers was looking at his results on his 23andMe, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I like have always kind of been into wanting to know more about like where I came from. I had known, like, you know, some Irish and German and Swiss, you know, that the family, you know, has always said, like my dad and my mom. So I took a test and I got the results one day, and I was looking at the ethnicity results. It was like 75% British and Irish, and then like 25% German, and then like a bunch of other little ones, which I thought was kind of weird. Because I mean, nobody had ever talked about the British side or Scottish even. It was just kind of just odd. And I was like, okay, well, these things are not always 100% accurate as far as that goes. So, or at least that's what I told myself. I flip over to DNA relatives tab, and there's a name I've never seen before or heard of. And it says 50% DNA match, biological father. And then right underneath that was a woman's name, and it said 24% DNA match, half sister. And then underneath that was a first cousin on the paternal side. And the half-sister was also on the paternal side. it said. So
wow.
Yeah.
So you matched with a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Three people I'd never. So the bio father and the cousin was male and they had the same last name. The half sister, I guess it's her married name is what I found out she had on there. But yeah, they're all related. And so, you know, of course I don't know, I guess it's like kind of all a blur, you know, that first time that you realize something about your life that's just completely uprooting everything, and time just kind of stood still. And he was my boyfriend at the time, but now we're engaged. My fiance and I were at home and he was working from home because this was, you know, COVID times. And I just remember like freaking out, like saying, this can't be real. This isn't happening. Like, what is this? And like, I showed him my phone and I don't even remember what he said because I was just like in such shock. Like I could see it on his face. Like he couldn't really say anything either. And I don't know. It was really just kind of a crazy couple hours.
What were your initial thoughts?
I guess like the way I just have described it is like, it was multiple feelings. Like I remember the first one was, this is what I've been searching for, you know, my whole life. Like as a kid growing up, I had a lot of questions, and it wasn't necessarily like about wondering if my dad was my real dad. It was, what's this big secret that I feel like looming over our family? Like, because growing up, my childhood was pretty chaotic with like my parents. They fought a lot. And then the divorce was pretty bad. And they were pretty hateful towards each other. And it was a very like manipulative and money draining divorce. And, you know, us kids, like me and my younger sister, we were put in the middle of it a lot. And there weren't a lot of answers, you know, during all of it. I don't know. And I never questioned that my dad, whether or not he was my biological father, it was just a really, I don't know. I felt stupid also in that moment. Like I was like, how could I not have ever known or questioned this? I don't know. It was just like such a confusing day that it was everything, you know, all the emotions all at once. And then, you know, anger came soon after that, within that next hour or two. And I was like, I need to talk to my mom right now. Like,
yeah.
She's the one that must know everything about this. And like, I grew up knowing she'd had affairs with men while married to my dad, and, you know, affairs with men while she was married to my stepfather. And so that kind of made sense. This kind of made sense in a way, but I just had no idea it was before I, you know, that I was a result of an affair as well. I don't know. It's just.
Right. Yeah. I think that experience is something that NPEs are all too familiar with, right? Just kind of looking back and going, oh, how did I not connect that? Like, obviously, but you know, you trust what you're told. And even though you knew all these things about your mother, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, you know, your birth certificate father isn't your biological father. So did you call your mom like that day, or when did you speak to her?
Yeah. So I texted her that afternoon. It was around like 11 or like noon when I got the results, when I looked at it. And then around like 2 or 3 PM, I sent her a text message and I was like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. She called me a couple hours later because she'd been working. She knew something was up just by my text, and she answered the phone and she's like, Allie, what's going on? And I was like, I said, did you have an affair with his name? I didn't want to tell her I knew. I wanted her to own up to something for once. And I know it maybe was a trap, but I didn't intend for it to be a trap. I wanted her to tell me the truth on her own for once.
Yeah.
And she said no to the question about her having an affair with him. And I said, you didn't have an affair with him? And she said, no. And I said, well, I just got my results from this DNA test and it says that he's my biological father and he was on there. And I don't really remember her saying anything after that. I was just like blacked out. Like I remember, you know, yelling expletives at her and saying like, I knew there was something wrong. I have always known there's something you weren't telling me. And I finally found it and this is it. And like, you know, kind of cussed at her here and there because I was really mad. And hung up the phone. I don't know. I didn't talk to her for probably about a month. She didn't say anything to me. I didn't say anything to her. I told myself I was never going to talk to her ever again that day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was some time before I finally reached out to her again. Like, it was probably a month later, actually. I reached back out because I was ready, like, for some answers, you know.
Yeah. Did you reach out to your biological father, any of the newfound family members in between that time?
No, I kind of, like, so on 23andMe, on your DNA matches, it shows, like, when they were last active on there. And theirs said that they were active within the last month. And so I was like, well, maybe they're going to look back and I'm not going to have to be the one to have to say anything to them. And they're going to see me on there and they're going to figure it out on their own this way. But I waited until like the end of March and I finally, like, nobody was on 23andMe. It didn't look like they were active. Like, I waited, I checked almost every day mm-hmm. to see if I had a message or if they were online and active, and they never were. And that, like, that first day it had done, because I, you know, I didn't know who this guy was. I did a bunch of internet sleuthing, like I'm sure we all do, if, mm-hmm. you know, we know their name. And when I Googled his name, well, first of all, I saw his Facebook, and it was like this blurry picture of this guy in front of these like mountains. And he was like kind of tall and like slim, which is like my body type. And I was like, I don't really know if I can, like, this blurry picture. Yeah, his body type is similar, but it's like, you know, that could be anybody.
Yeah.
But it said he lives in St. Louis. And so that's when I knew that was real. And then I found his LinkedIn, and his LinkedIn showed that he'd worked at the same marketing company that my parents had worked at and met at in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. So that's when I knew it was real, like when I saw his LinkedIn.
So through your own research, you kind of put the pieces together of how they met and what maybe happened. Did your mother then kind of, because you said you went back to your mom after a little over a month, did she open up anymore at that point?
Yeah, she did. I had written down all these questions that I was going to ask her. And now that I look back, I wish I would have recorded the phone call, because writing was a lot slower than talking. But mm-hmm. I had asked her if that it had only been one time. And she said yes, which I later found out was true. And then I asked her if when it was, and it was after, obviously my parents got married in 1990 and I was born in 1993. So it was after my parents, my dad, my birth certificate father, after they had married. And I'd asked her, you know, like what she thought of him. And she didn't really like give me much. She just made it sound like he was like this huge flirt, and he just wanted her for her body. And like, you know, like it was just a sexual relationship and he was using her.
Hmm.
Nothing about it was like her using him. I don't know. It was just, it took a long time, and it's still taking time to like figure out all the details. And it's weird to put the pieces together, because I asked her if she knew that he was my father, and she said, no, I always thought you were your dad's, like my birth certificate father's.
Mm-hmm.
She stuck to that for a long time. And I was like, there's just no way that like you could convince yourself 100% if you'd been having, you know, an affair with this guy at the same time you're trying to get pregnant with your husband. Like, how, I don't know. Because apparently her and my dad had been having issues getting pregnant. And they actually, when they found out she was pregnant with me, was when they were going, she said she was getting a dye test done to see if, I guess, she was having any issues getting pregnant. And that's when she found out she was pregnant with me.
Oh, wow. So you talk to your mom and she kind of answers some questions. You later learn maybe that those are not truthful. What happens next?
I get a therapist. I probably got a therapist like 2 days after I found out, because I was like, well, I'm going to need this. And I've always needed one. So I did that first, and then kind of worked with her on trying to like sort things and like focus on myself rather than, because for me, I always want answers, you know, right away. And I'm sure everybody in this situation does. But for me, I feel like I stop at nothing to get those answers, because I've been obviously searching my whole life for this. And so I found my biological father's address, because I figure I'd rather, you know, I don't really feel great about the guy to begin with, because I realize my half sister is a couple years older than me. And then I realize my half brother, who, when I thought about it for a while, I realized I knew him from my high school days, like through mutual friends. He went to like the rival high school of my high school. And like, I'd probably seen him at like football games. Like I remember we were even friends on Facebook, and I guess like we must've deleted each other sometime, you know, in the last 10 or so years since we've graduated. When I like, you know, I searched them on the internet and I realized, okay, they're both, he's like 6 months older than me. So that means that his wife must've been pregnant with him when I was conceived. And so my biological father has a baby at home, and then his wife is pregnant while he's like, you know, seeing my mom, mm-hmm. who's married to another man, trying to get pregnant with him. It's just, I don't have great thoughts about him, you know, like this guy obviously morally is not such a great person. Even then though, I feel like the right thing to do is to reach out to him first. So I sent him a letter to like, I saw in like one of the NPE Facebook groups, because I had found that community. And I like saw that a lot of people were sending letters to their biological father's houses. Like that was the way to like not disrupt too much instantly, you know?
Yeah.
And sent like a tracked letter. So I knew when it got delivered, so I could like prepare myself and make sure that he actually got it, so I wouldn't be wondering all the time. Yeah, so I sent at the end of March, I think it was like March 22nd or 23rd or something like that. I sent it like the day before I went on a trip with one of my friends to San Diego. And because I didn't think he would respond right away, but he got the letter 2 days after I sent it. And then he texted me that day, and I was in San Diego still with my friend. I was not expecting it. And he was like, hey, he said his name here. This is all a lot, but I'm wondering if maybe you could hide yourself on 23andMe so that my daughter doesn't see that. Mm. And that was the first thing he said to me on a text message.
How'd that make you feel?
I was angry. I was really angry, because at this point I'd already had like not great feelings about him, you know? Like, you need to prove yourself, because you're the one who did something wrong here.
Yeah.
And me, I'm just trying to like figure it out and get some answers. I was pissed. But like, as the day went on, I don't know, I agreed to it at that time, because I was like, okay, like I understand, like maybe he needs to tell them in the right way. Maybe he's going to tell them. So I agree to do it, and I hide myself on 23andMe. And then we like, you know, we text and message like the rest of that night. He tells me he was actually born in San Diego, of all places. That, and then he like tells me he was adopted. So he was like put in foster care when he was a kid in San Diego. And then his parents adopted him and brought him to Missouri. So it was just kind of crazy that I was where he was when he was born at that time that we made our first contact. But we spent the night messaging back and forth about, like, it seemed like he was telling me the whole truth about like his affair with my mom. He made it sound like he told me this was a really bad thing that I did, but if anything positive were to be said about this, you were made with love, is what he said to me. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Like, that's not what my mom makes it sound like. And he was like, yeah, it was, he told me that the affair had gone on for a few years before his first kid was born, which I think she might've been born like 89. And so then that means they had an affair from 89 until at least 92. So that's like a 3-year long affair. And my mom had told me that it had only been once.
Yeah.
You know, they met each other like at their work. She was working, they were both working in like a film lab, and he'd known my dad. He'd worked on some projects with my dad before. And there was a lot of drama surrounding the situation back then. And I guess like my mom, he told me that my mom had told his boss, my biological father's boss, that he was stalking her in the parking lot and to leave her alone. And so he was told by his boss to leave my mom alone. Like the drama was at work. But he said like nobody else knew about all of this. It was just like him and her. And he told his wife at the time that he'd had the affair, and he didn't 100% know about me, but he said that, when my mom was pregnant, you know, they were all still working together, my dad, my mom, and my biological father. And when my mom was pregnant, he had tried to approach her to ask her about me, if that was his kid. And she'd said no, and I think that's when she filed like to his boss that he was stalking her to leave her alone.
And did your birth certificate father know about any of this, or was it all kept from him?
I guess he didn't know. He never suspected until he got a letter in 1998 after my parents hadn't worked at that job anymore. Like, their whole department had gotten let go. So I was about 5 years old, and he got a letter in the mail that was about, it was an anonymous letter. And it basically was saying, like, we're ready to tell you about what your wife has done because we're tired of watching my biological father get, you know, basically screwed over by her. And it said like that my mom had told him that he might have been the father of me.
Wow. Okay. And did you hear about this letter from your birth certificate dad, or how'd you find out that this letter was sent?
Well, so I had actually known about the letter like years ago. My dad had mentioned it, but all that he'd mentioned about it was that, like, because we've talked about like my mom having affairs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd mentioned that he got a letter in the mail once about like my mom having affairs. So I'd known about it, but I finally one day like called my dad up, summer of 2021. And I called him and I said, Dad, I have to tell you something. Do you remember when I told you that I was going to take that 23andMe DNA test? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you know why I'm talking to you about this? And he said, yes. And I started crying. Mm-hmm. And I said, how long have you known? And he was getting pretty upset too. And he said he'd known since I was 5 years old when he got the letter. Mm. And I said, that's what the letter said. And he said, yeah. That phone conversation was just kind of like the rest of it was, wasn't trying to get many details.
Yeah.
It was like, he said, you're always going to be my daughter. And this doesn't change anything. And you've always been my daughter. And I love you so much. And it was really hard.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's such a hard conversation. So he had known essentially your whole life, or, you know, from the time you were five. Did he share maybe why he didn't say anything?
Yeah, he said, I thought I shouldn't have been the one to tell you. And I don't know. I understand that. And I don't think he should have been the one to tell me either.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, did he ever have a conversation with my mom about it? And, you know, it's a lot of this stuff has been conversations over the last, you know, year and a half, because I can't do it all in one go. So yeah. I get pieces of information here and there. I, you know, I finally go out to visit him because he lives pretty far away from me. And I ask him, you know, more questions about things. And I asked him, like, because he said, I was on the phone with him once, and I was like, Dad, like, can you tell me more about this letter? Because we were talking about it one time. Because he's actually pretty open about talking about it. Like, I can tell it's a little stressful, but I know, like, he's not really talked to anybody about it, you know, this whole time. And maybe it might feel okay to talk about it finally.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Dad, can you tell me more about this letter? Like, what does it say? Because I was more concerned. I got really fixated for a long time about the details of who knew the whole time, you know, mm-hmm. my mom and my biological father. And he was like, yeah, do you want me to go get it? I'll read it to you.
Oh, so he still had it. I was like,
you still have it?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, he's moved a few times, you know, since receiving that letter. And it's like he's brought it with him.
So he kept this letter and you read it. What did seeing it do for you? Did it make it more real, or what were your thoughts?
I was actually kind of like, I've been through a lot of this. I was pretty angry again because it was signed, you know, anonymously by three people who put like their first, just one initial for each person. So these three people that wrote this letter, who obviously they worked with all of them at this company, and they're standing up for my biological father, and they're making my mom, you know, sound like she was the main culprit. Like, she seduced my biological father is what they were saying in there. And like, this was basically all of her fault. And I get it, but also it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really a great person either. And it was like a letter to my dad, you know, trying to like out her I don't know. I'm just like, I'm just angry because it also mentions me and my name and they're talking about me and I'm just a kid at this point. And you're like trying to, I don't know. Like, do they not realize the consequences? Like, what if, you know, if my dad wasn't such a great person, then, you know, maybe he would have left, you know, after learning this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, I felt really violated when I heard this letter because I mean, somebody out there knows. Somebody I don't know at all knows about this. And I don't know, you know, or I didn't know until I found out on my own. So I right. was just angry, I guess.
Yeah. Did you go back to your mom after hearing from your biological father and your birth certificate father, these pieces that, you know, proved what she said wasn't the truth? Did you go back to her after that?
Yeah. She, you know, still denied it for a long time, like ever knowing that I had a different biological father. It was only until recently that she was like, yeah, I thought there was a possibility that he could have been your father. And I was like, well, finally, you know, after a year and a half, you're kind of admitting it, but not really. Even though, you know, she's apologized for the affair. I don't really care about that, I guess. I've already known. I've already been mad at her for my whole life for the affairs, but you know, it was the fact that she kept this giant secret from me and I felt betrayed by it.
Yeah.
I just felt like I wasn't, it's like she didn't respect me enough to tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that maybe that truth is rooted in shame and guilt, but you know, she won't really ever admit that. But I don't, there's only so much, you know, you can get out of everybody.
Right. That's the truth. Yeah. Going back to your biological father, so you've connected with him, you've heard his version of things, and he's asked you to keep it a secret from his family for now, which was understandably upsetting, but you agreed. What happens next on that path?
Well, we like communicated back and forth, and it was usually through Messenger. I had asked if, you know, he would talk to me on the phone. He would tell me he wasn't ready. Eventually, and this was like all within a couple months. So in May, after, you know, initially talking to him in March, in May, I told him, I said, I think for closure, I would like to meet you in person and talk to you about this in person. I was living in Minneapolis at the time. So one weekend I drove down, I had like a party that I had to go to as well. So I wasn't just going to meet him, but he finally agreed to meet me. And so we met in person and it was the weirdest day of my life. And I don't know, I was like so nervous. My like stomach hurt. I had to take a bunch of Pepto-Bismol because my stomach was just upset. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
But like when I tell people, I feel like really weird saying it, but like, I felt like I met the male version of myself. We were at this restaurant for like 5 hours and it wasn't like, it was just like a roller coaster of emotions. And we was so open with me about everything that day. And I was open with like sharing with him a lot about like my childhood, and he was listening and, you know, asking questions. And I had felt like I hadn't really had an adult do that in my life. You know, like my parents kind of like, I love them, but you know, whenever I got upset, it was kind of like, okay, go cry in my room alone.
Yeah.
Like as a kid. And there wasn't a lot of like comfort there as far as that goes. I told him that day, I told him, I was like, I don't think of you as a father. Like it feels like if anything, you're like an uncle or something. And yeah. like, that's how I'll consider you because I don't need a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he respected that because he was adopted and he'd never known his biological parents. And that was an interesting thing too, because he like still had never known their names or who they were or any of his family. And he said that he didn't need to know any of them, that his adoptive parents were all he needed to know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who his biological parents are, because who raised him is what matters. And I remember like, and he was like, yeah, we're kind of in the same situation. And I was like, no, not really. This is not the same.
Right. Because for many reasons, for many
reasons. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you've known that you were adopted, you know, your entire life.
Right.
And I don't know if he really like, maybe he understood. I don't really know. We kind of moved on from that because I don't know if he was really expecting me to be so outspoken about everything. Because mm-hmm. It's just like, I know I've been wronged, and I know, like, you know, there's been lies, and I'm just tired of it, and I'm ready for everybody to own up.
Yeah. Did he eventually tell his family about you?
I don't know. So that ended up being like a great day and everything. And I left like feeling ecstatic. Like I was on a high. I was like, wow, this is a great relationship that I'm going to have with him. And like, you know, I'm going to learn more about myself. Like I've already learned so much about myself in just one day of meeting him, and it was amazing and everything. So I was like, we were messaging back and forth. After that, I went home back to Minneapolis and we talked, and, you know, I was like, you know, are you going to tell your kids yet? And he was like, oh yeah, maybe like soon, you know? And like, it was like, he just kept saying that, but then he would be back and forth frequently, like saying, I don't know if this is the best approach to tell them at all. We are all trying to live our lives. And, you know, his daughter has children. So he has grandchildren, and he's like, we're all just trying to support the grandchildren. And I don't know if this is the right thing, you know, to tell them. And I'm like, no, they have to know, because they're going to find out on their own, if anything, you know, yeah. If they take another DNA test, I'm not going to be invisible forever. I just like, I refuse to do that. And so, you know, I asked him over the several months, and finally, like, I think it was like 6 months go by, and I asked him one day, I said, so like, when are you planning on telling them? And he said, I'm working on that with their mom. And at this point, he's divorced from their mom. He's already remarried to somebody else.
Mm.
And so I'm like, I don't know why this is something that, I don't know. At the time I was pretty like, maybe I was a little pushy him telling them, but for me, it's like everybody else just wants to be able to try to connect, you know, with their half siblings, or at least like be known by their half siblings
mm-hmm.
is what all I really wanted. Yeah. And especially because I had already known my half brother. He said he was going to work on it with his ex-wife. And I just knew at that point, I was like, he's not going to tell them. He's been stringing me along, and I just didn't believe he was going to tell them. And so I sent them a message. I had like taken a few days to write out a really long message, like telling them in the most neutral and like kind way and like blunt way to put it. And I sent it to them on Facebook, like in a group message. And yeah, I haven't heard from them. And that was over a year ago now. So and they never
they
responded.
Never responded. Okay. Does he know that you messaged them?
Yeah, he messaged me one day, and he said, it was like the day after I sent him a message. And he said, I saw that you're showing yourself on 23andMe again. Like, what's that about? And then like shortly after that, he's like, my daughter just called me. Shame on you for not letting me tell them in the right way.
Mm.
And that was just not, I didn't really feel great about that response. So I ended up blocking him, and just like, cause I was like, well, I'm done with him, because why am I feeling the shame of this?
Yeah.
When he's known for 6 months and he's had plenty of opportunities. If he's actually known my entire life, luckily my fiance, he ended up sending him a text message and standing up for me and saying, you know, like, shame on you for not telling them. This Allie should not have any of this shame on her. This is all on you, basically. And my biological father was like, well, I'm so glad that she has somebody that can stand up for her and puff their chest out. Don't fuck it up.
Wow.
Yeah. He was kind of, I don't know. We didn't talk for a few months, and this was September, of 2021. And he messaged me like maybe a month or so later, and he was like, we need to set up a meeting between you, your mom, and me and sort this out.
Mm.
And at this point, I wasn't talking to my mom. Like, I'd stopped talking to her again because she was not telling me the truth. I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'm not even speaking to her right now, so that's not really gonna happen. And I don't know. As time went on, like, I guess he sent her a message is what he told me. I don't know. He tried to communicate with her, and I'm like, I don't really know what the point is of us three meeting and talking about it. It just seemed like it was going to be kind of like a dramatic thing. So
yeah,
I wasn't really into it. And my mom, like, I just knew I wasn't getting anywhere with my mom. So I kind of gave up on that. front.
So you didn't end up meeting with three of them. So where are you at with him now?
He was really kind of mean towards me after that, saying that he told me once, well, I would reach out to him and I would say, hey, like, how are you? You know, after months had gone by and I was just like checking in on him and he'd be short with me and I'd say, like, is everything okay? And he's like, no, and he told me, I'm losing empathy for you in this situation. I can't trust you, you know, kind of saying all these things related to that, like basically making it out to be like, I was the bad person in this whole situation. So I would let it go. I wouldn't respond to him. And then he would reach out to me again and send me a message and say, hey, just checking in. And I like would respond. And then he would be, you know, kind of rude and short to me again, kind of saying like weird side comments. He told me I was impulsive and emotional and immature. It was really strange. Like when I talked to my therapist about it, it was, I don't know. He's just like trying to hurt me, I think, because he thought that I was like out to get him and his family. But it's like, no, I was just trying to connect and I was just trying to not be secret and to, you know, have everybody in the situation involved like know the truth. So yeah, he just like messages me every now and then. I actually moved back to St. Louis in April of 2022 this year, just because like my sister still lives here and my fiance's family lives here. And, you know, after COVID, we were kind of ready to move back and be around his family and like my sister again. I didn't talk to him for a while because he was, you know, saying weird things to me about like how I was, you know, impulsive and emotional and how, I don't know. He just said weird stuff. So then he messaged me this summer and we hadn't talked since probably February. And he sent a message and he was like, hey, reaching out again, just because I'm the empathetic one in this relationship. And he put relationship like in quotation marks. And genetically, you should be as smart as me and like all this weird stuff. But it's like, I don't know. I think he has like some narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah.
And he's also like very emotionally unstable is what I found out. But I don't know. In the end of the day, like everybody, like my therapist and my fiance, they both, you know, kind of think I don't need to have a lot of communication with him because the things he says are just kind of meant to hurt me in a way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I think maybe I almost jeopardized his family. And now he like reaches out whenever he wants to. And then when I respond, he doesn't respond for like days. It's weird. So it's kind of tumultuous and I don't really know. Like I asked him to meet up with me once because he sent me a message, you know, 3 months after I lived here. And so I finally told him, you know, hey, I moved back. And then I said, would you be open to meeting up? And he's like, yeah, maybe sometime soon. It was just like, I was kind of looking for a certain day to meet up and it was just, he doesn't want to commit to it. So I figure, you know, if he wants to get to know me, then he would have done that by now, or at least tried to meet up with me or have some sort of communication with me other than like just a text message. I have found, like in the beginning of all of it, I asked him if I, you know, cause I originally was like, I want to know about my ethnicity, like where I come from and stuff like that. And, you know, he didn't know. And so I asked him, I said, is it okay if I try to find like who your parents were, like who my grandparents are? He's like, yeah, sure. I don't think you'll be able to find anything because I've tried to, you know, find my adoption records and they never released them to me. I was like, okay. So then he buys me an ancestry DNA test for my birthday last year. And the top match that's on there was like somebody I didn't know. I sent them a message because he was adopted with his full brother.
Okay. So he grew up with biological family.
Yeah. Yeah. Just his brother. And so I messaged this top match and I said, you know, do you know of two people that were born these dates in San Diego? And like, are you related to them somehow? And he was like, wow, this is crazy. Those are my uncles. And I was named after them. And like, basically like, you got to talk to my aunt right now, and got me in contact. So he was a half first cousin. This is like, it's just like a crazy family tree.
Yeah.
We had the same grandmother, and his aunt, or our aunt, is my half aunt. So when I went to go visit my dad, I met one of my like new aunts, and she showed me pictures of my grandmother at this Mexican restaurant. And it was like, it was shocking because it was like, she looks like, we look so similar. Mm-hmm. And I've never really like looked like anybody mm-hmm. before, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really great meeting her and my cousin, her daughter. And they've like, we still talk like to this day. Unfortunately, my biological father, like I told him that I found his parents, who they were. They both passed a long time ago. And I found what his birth name was. And, you know, all this family, he has 4 half sisters. And at the time, I think they were all alive.
Mm.
And, you know, 2 of them wanted, one from his father's side and one from his mom's side, wanted to know him. You know, because I had reached out and I talked to them. Because another aunt was on Ancestry on his father's side. It's crazy. But he wasn't interested. So that was kind of disappointing, you know, when they had asked, the sisters asked if they could, if he wanted contact with them. And I had to say, like, no, you know, he's not ready yet. So that was kind of hard. But they've had their arms open to me and, you know, given me as much information as they can about, you know, their parents and the family. So that's been the silver lining in all of it.
So it's like in the end, you did connect with some biological family, even beyond what he has.
They're really just like the nicest people in the world. I hope I can meet, I have one aunt who's in Canada. I hope I can meet her one day, but the aunt and the cousin that I met in Tucson, they're just the sweetest people ever. And they're so nice. They always say, like, you look just like her, like my grandmother. And it's like just so crazy to, I don't know, to feel that validation, you know, finally from somebody.
Oh, I'm so glad you've been able to connect with someone. What are some things that you have learned about your newfound family?
I guess so. My grandmother, so she had 2 older daughters and then divorced their dad and ended up marrying, I guess she ran away to Mexico with my grandfather and got married down there.
Mm.
And came back and had my uncle and then my biological father. And then my grandfather went to prison for, which I found all this through just ancestry documents.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So for forgery, which I don't really know like what he did there. And then there's like newspaper articles about him like fleeing prison, how he escaped prison. And then I guess like that's where the timeline leads to like him meeting my half aunt's mom and basically had my half aunt. Like, so what he had, a knack for starting families and places and then leaving.
Mm.
So I think he left my grandmother with 4 kids. And that's why my grandmother gave my uncle and my biological father up for adoption.
Okay.
I think they were like 3 and 6 years old. So my father was like 3 years old. So, I mean, he doesn't have any memories, but I know my uncle did. But unfortunately, my uncle passed in 2019. So that was before I even, you know, discovered anything. So I think there's a lot of trauma related to their adoption. Their father wasn't really a great person. And then obviously being adopted sometimes can be traumatic, you know, taken from your home and going and living with a whole new family.
Yeah.
And I know that was probably like rough for him, but he sounds grateful. And so my dad growing up, he is an artist. He's always been like an art director of projects and things. And he's always had such a creative and like talented mind. And I've always wanted to be that way. Mm-hmm. And like my sister naturally is my half sister, I guess, who I grew up with. She's younger and like she is my dad's biological child, but she has like a really natural, you know, artistic ability. And I've always wanted that. I guess I never was as good at, you know, art things. And I found out like, so my dad's an art one, but my biological father was the IT guy at their company. So he's like kind of like the tech, like analytical, like numbers guy. I've kind of always been interested in like the sciences and like, you know, being analytical about things. So I've kind of like discovered that's why I am the way I am, I guess. That was, I think, maybe a good part of discovering myself through all of it. My grandmother I don't really know much, I guess, about her personality. And I wish I kind of knew more. It sounds like she kind of had a rough life, but she was a very religious woman. She wasn't always religious, but I think after, you know, having to give her sons up for adoption, she found, you know, her faith. And I really respect that about her. And I know she lived with a lot of like grief about the boys and giving them up. So I don't know. I just feel like I can sometimes like I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get it. I don't know. I just feel so much empathy towards her, and I wish I could have known her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably wasn't a very easy thing to do, and it's not like she did it because she didn't want them, you know?
Right. How are things with your raised parents now, your mom and your birth certificate father?
Things with my dad are good. I mean, I've gone down to visit him a couple times since finding out. And, you know, we've talked about it, and he's a little bit more open about it each time. And I don't know. It's like our relationship feels different, but not always in like a bad way. But, you know, it is different no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still love each other, and we still talk on the phone at least once every other week. So that hasn't changed. And as far as my mom goes, like that's been really complicated. And, you know, some days I'm pretty angry at her, and some days I'm like, okay, I still want to have a mom in my life.
Right.
You know, but it's hard because you feel like so betrayed. And she came over to my house a couple weeks ago because I told her that we need to sit down and actually like talk about this for once, because it's always been over the phone or like over text message.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she sat down and like, I just had her, like, I just told my whole story from that first day and like told her everything, and she listened and she understood why I felt betrayed, and, you know, she apologized, and, you know, she'll probably like never admit that, because she said, you know, she didn't 100% know that I was his kid, but I mean, like looking at pictures of him and pictures of me, like I think it's pretty obvious, and I look completely different from my sister.
Yeah,
like we always used to joke that she was adopted. I think we still have some mending to do, her and I don't like 100% want her out of my life, because I still love her and she's owning up to some of it, but you know, it's hard. It's things are never going to be the same.
Yeah,
I'm trying to let go of it, but it's hard.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not really letting go, right? It's like working through.
Yeah. It's like everything is different, you know?
Yes.
100%. Even though I don't want it to be, because all I really want is to connect and understand, you know, connect with everybody and to understand myself a little better and where I come from. And I don't know, I just want peace with all of it, you know?
Yes. What advice would you offer to a parent who might be keeping a DNA surprise from their child?
Just don't. I can tell you that there's never going to feel like there's a right time to tell, but it's now. Yesterday was the right time, because now I'm, you know, older. I mean, I'm 29, but I'm also like ready to start my own family. You know, I'm getting ready to get married and like start a family. And now like there's a lot of things I'm questioning about it because of all of this. And I feel like it's, as much as I haven't wanted it to hold me back, it has. And, you know, if you tell your child sooner in life, you know, when they're a little more resilient, when they're kids, you know, maybe things will go better and your relationship won't be tarnished. And as kids get older and they're adults, they, you know, you go away from your parents. You don't see them as often. And I don't know. I just wish I was told sooner. I wish I'd known about the letter. I'm not blaming my dad or anything, but it just doesn't feel right. So just tell your kids as soon as you know.
you mentioned that therapy's been helping you. What advice would you offer someone who just found out that they're an NPE?
It's tough. Like everybody says, like, don't react right away to things, because your emotional mind, and I'll shout out to my therapist, the emotional mind is at work in the beginning, and you might, you know, say some things that you might feel emotionally fired up about in the beginning. So just try to give yourself some time, give yourself some space, and, you know, self-care, as cliche as that sounds, but like go on a walk and think about it before you say something to somebody, or before you do something, or before you have that big talk with one of your parents or whoever. Get some professional help, because you're going to need it through all of this. And obviously the support groups have been great, but yeah, I love the support groups, but at times, like at first I was just constantly like reading everybody's stories, like listening to all the podcasts. Like, I think it was just like, it was overwhelming, like every day of my life. So just take a break, at least a little bit of your day from all of the reading the stories or the podcasts or whatever, and have time to yourself. Because I think sometimes like I would send myself on a spiral because I was just like, I couldn't stop reading or listening.
Right.
It is very helpful that like all like your podcast, the other podcasts that I've listened to, all the groups, the reading. But yeah, it is helpful to take a break and have some time to yourself.
I think that's great advice. Yeah. Because with it, right, the age of information, you could spend all of your time consuming DNA surprise information. And it is important to take that step back and give yourself space. So that's really great advice. Well, Allie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story. I hope that you continue to find peace in your journey, wherever that takes you, and that you continue to build a relationship with the newfound family that has welcomed you with open arms. And congratulations on your engagement and upcoming wedding.
Thanks again to Allie for sharing her story. If you have a DNA surprise story that you'd like to share, please email dnasurprises@gmail.com. Until next time.